Cavani with the pump fake and one dribble inside to the long two, and he makes it. That's been his game his whole career. But look at him smiling. We go, my bad. The long two. My bad.
Welcome to another episode of The Long Two.
I am Pete Rogers. He is Natty Wallach.
And we are a Carmelo Anthony podcast that occasionally talks fantasy basketball. Natty, how are you doing this week?
I'm okay, buddy. How are you?
I am equally as okay. We were talking before we hit record. We're both just feeling kind of tired. And I will say, yours truly got my second vax this week. I know you just got your first dose of vax, so that obviously for me played into it. I just, you know, it knocks you out for a couple of days. It knocked me out for about 24-30 hours, but you know, coming out of that and feeling better, feeling safer, you know, and that's ultimately what's important.
Hey man, you did your part. Everybody should get vaxxed so yep. We can, you know, continue to improve the situation. So it's good that you got number two. I'm a little jealous. I'll get mine next month.
Good.
But yeah, everybody.
Still plenty of time before, you know, things really get nice. And we're end of May, early June, where, you know, the summertime really begins.
Be vaxxed up and ready for the playoffs.
Ready to thrive. Before we talk waiver wire ads, I do want to just quickly, I wanted to get your thoughts on some MVP odds, Natty. Because okay. Right now, Luka Jokic, Nikola Jokic. What did I? What I just combined those guys?
That would be incredible.
That player would be unstoppable. Luka Jokic would be a beast unto of himself. But Nikola Jokic, these odds are via DraftKings. He's -400 right now to win MVP. Everyone thinks he's the favorite. That's, you know, I don't see why you would argue against that. Well, my point is though, Joel Embiid number two. +325, Giannis +2000, James Harden +2500, Steph Curry number five on this list. Does that seem low to you?
He should be higher than Harden, I believe.
Yeah, at the very least.
Yeah, I think Harden has missed enough that he should be out of the top five. I think LBJ should still be there in the fifth spot. But yeah, I mean, before the season, we said for the Warriors to do well, they were probably going to need an MVP-esque season from Steph, and that's what he's given them. And they are 500 and in the playoffs today.
Right. They're currently at the 10th seed right now, so they'd be in the play-in tournament. And I mean, it's the fact that, like, we're, you know, the MVP is all about narratives, and the fact that Steph has just been, like, playing astronomically through the month of April is I feel like if he keeps that up and the Warriors can cement an actual playoff bid, but if they're still in that play-in tournament, like he's, you know, playing at this level, he can win a game. You get into the playoffs, you maybe have a mildly exciting series. I just thought the +3000 for Steph Curry to win MVP was an interesting line.
He's having one of his best seasons, and this seems like prime Curry. And he has to do it in order for the Warriors to win. So this is it's not desperation, but he's playing at 110%, like we've seen him play before. And that team without him is nothing. You know,
literally
no disrespect
nothing
to the other players, including Draymond and Maple Jordan, but
would be garbage. This team would be rivaling like the T-Wolves for record in the West without Steph.
And they actually have a top 10 defensive rating as a team, I believe.
They do.
They're 16-14 in the conference, which sort of suggests to me that they're better than we think.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I wouldn't want to have to play a one game playoff game against them. And if it's Blazers versus Dubs, that's going to be absolutely incredibly awesome.
That's going
Dame
to be
versus Steph.
Yeah.
So anytime you have Draymond and Steph, I think you have to consider the team dangerous. Mm-hmm. So it's but they're not, they don't have a good enough seed in the West for Steph to actually win, I don't think. Yeah, so I still think fair. It comes down to Joker and Embiid.
Yeah, no, I think Honeypot's going to win it. Let me give you Steph's month of April stats before we move on to some good fantasy basketball content. Month of April, 35 minutes per game, 38 points per game, 6 rebounds per game, 4.7 assists per game, shooting 53%, 47%, 90%. That's fucking insane.
And it's the type of shots he takes.
It's the 14 threes per game and he's shooting 47%. That's fucking out of this world. Oh my God. But and talking about, go ahead.
Sorry, just one more thing. There's the Bucks right now are in the third seed, 37-22 in the East. The 76ers are 39-21 and the Nets are 40-20. There is a chance that Milwaukee gets the number one seed or the number two seed. And if that did happen, then I think that Giannis would actually leapfrog Embiid because of the amount of minutes and games played, much like with Joker. I mean, I sort of feel like Joker's going to
win it,
but they're
in the bag, yeah.
They're in the fourth seed, you know, like they're, if they go into the fifth or sixth, like if they go into a free fall, I don't think that'll happen. But at a certain point, it comes down to taste. Do you care about the minutes? Do you care about the seed and overall record? Do you care about the context of the team? The reason the NBA loves this is because most valuable player is in the eye of the beholder. It's not best player. Right. It's not most dominant, which Embiid would win running away. So it's going to come down to the wire, I think, you know, and it's going to depend on every single aspect of the team and the player. So yeah. Steph's going for point leader. Joker is trying to propel his team and he looks like he's the best offensive big man in the NBA. Meanwhile, Embiid looks like the most dominant player when he can play in the NBA. And Giannis, no one gives a shit about the Bucks this year. No one gives a shit about the
Freak. That's kind of right where they want to be. I feel like that's new for them and that's perfect for them.
Right. The only expectations they gave for themselves, or the only goals they gave for themselves, is to make the finals.
Yeah.
Making the Eastern Conference finals, I don't think cuts it. You have to make the fucking finals. And they don't give a damn about anything else. They've been experimenting all throughout the season. Drew Holiday is now the second best player on that team, I think. Yep. I think he's better than Chris Middleton, yep. Even though Middleton's absolutely still awesome and efficient. But that team's still dangerous. And if the Bucks do go on a run and come up with the number one or two seed, I do think there's a chance that Giannis could grab his third MVP.
It's saucy. Of course, all this MVP talk doesn't mean shit to you, dear fantasy basketball listeners, because right. You're not going to be able to add these guys off waivers. But who you can add off waivers is the whole laundry list of players who can still give you massive benefits as we approach fantasy basketball playoffs. If they haven't already begun
some
for you.
Leagues might. Yeah. Some. Yeah. We're in one league together where this was the first week of the playoffs.
Oh, my God. Was it really?
Week.
Jesus
yeah.
Shows you how much of this league I've been paying attention to. It's because my team is cursed,
luck.
Natty. It's
you
fucking
really
cursed, and I just don't even care anymore.
I mean, that happens.
I'm winning this week, so that's okay. Anyway,
this is such a weird season. Like we sort of forget because this year isn't as weird as last year's, but this was still a weird season, and a lot of people got injured and lost a ton of games. I mean, there's almost no way that someone got through this fantasy season without someone going on their IR.
Yeah. Durant, I didn't realize, played 14 minutes today, scored 13 points. Well done, Durant.
Yeah.
Thanks for getting me 28 fantasy points in 14 minutes of play. Love it.
Go ahead.
Let's talk waiver wire ads. As always, we have four different categories for you guys. We have dunks. These are 70% and under rostered on ESPN. Layups, 50% and under. Open threes, 35% and under. And long twos, 20% and under rostered. I will start us off with our dunk. My first dunk, or my only dunk, excuse me. My dunk. And that is, I like this guy. I've talked about him a lot, I feel like, on this show. Jakob Poeltl. on the San Antonio Spurs. Over the last 30 days, he's been the 23rd player on ESPN Player Rater. In the last 15, number six. You wow. can add a top 10 player in fantasy basketball over the last 15 days for free on your fantasy waiver wire. He's 60% rostered in ESPN. In the month of April, he is averaging 10.9 points, 8.3 boards, 2.3 assists, 3.2 steals or stocks per game. Excuse me. Over the last 2 weeks, he's averaging 3.1 blocks per game. Wow. Over the last 2 weeks. That's why he's the number six player in the last 15 days. Miles Turner is the only player in the NBA averaging over 3 blocks per game on the season. So Jakob Poeltl is giving you elite defense, astronomically elite defense, while basically a double-double on the offensive side in terms of points and boards. 2.3 assists, also nothing to scoff at. Like, this man should be 80% rostered and up within like the matter of seconds. So make sure you go snag him while he's still at least mildly available in leagues.
I think blocks have been one of the stories of this fantasy season.
Totally.
Basically everybody who has high block rates is fantasy gold right now. And I don't know if it's because of the increased offense, so maybe there's just more opportunities to block things, or if it's just because the front court has sort of caught up with the three-point new NBA explosion. And so now you have guys like Poeltl. How about Nerlens Noel, who doesn't score at all, but is getting blocks all over the
like
place?
It's still like a top 50 fantasy basketball because he just gets, you know, blocks.
And they're becoming real like highlights. So it's, I think the players like to do it and they're not swatting them out of bounds, which is important. You're getting extra possessions out of these. So yeah, I mean, watching bigs distribute and wings distribute, like everyone's assisting more, there's more passing, the ball movement has been democratized, everybody is sort of expected to do all these things, like rebounds for guards, you know. And I don't know if the steals have really varied that much, but the blocks are just, I mean, you can see when you look at player rating, like some of these guys are going nuts. And it's, I mean, my dunk is a blocker as well. So
go ahead,
pay attention to the blocks, everybody. Okay. Well, my dunk is, and all of these guys, I think, are guys that we've been talking about throughout the season. And this is because heading into the playoffs or in the off season, these are guys that you're going to want. Derek White, not a boyfriend, but like he's on the list, you know, like
he's a quick booty call for you.
We're in constant contact, or regular contact.
Regular,
He doesn't reject my calls, and I don't reject his. We answer each other's texts.
Nice.
Anyway, he's 63% rostered. Over the last month, he is the 25th best player in ESPN Basic Fantasy Basketball.
That's pretty good, people. Pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And he is the lowest rostered player of the top 30 over the past month as well. So good and available, which is pretty nice. He's rostered less than TJ McConnell, who does not start. Now, some of that is because Derek White had a bad or slow, slumpy beginning to the season. But he's been one of the best fantasy players in the game for quite a while now. On the season, he's averaging 15 plus points per game, 3 plus boards, 3 plus dimes, a block, which is what we mentioned earlier, and 2+ 3-pointers made. Only 7 players in the NBA can match or exceed those numbers this year. And it's mainly because of the blocks, but still, Embiid, Giannis, Durant, Big Cat, The Brow, and Bam, along with Derek White, who is a guard and is 6'4". Those are the only guys that can give you those numbers. He's also, Derek White's also the only one of those players to average under 30 minutes per game. So like if he was playing 32 or 33 or 34 minutes per game, those would go up even more. Only 8 players are averaging over 2 3-pointers made and a block on the year. And that's also an impressive list. Big Cat, Jeremy Grant, Go Pistons. Maple Jordan, Durant, Bob Covington, Kristaps, Michael Porter Jr., and Derek White. So those are two really nice lists to be on. A perimeter threat and a defensive elite player for one of the hardest stat cats and most valuable stat cats to get.
Yeah. And in the month of April, I don't know if you gave his actual numbers for this month, but this month he's been really great. 18.8 points per game, 3.3 boards, 4 assists, 1.1 blocks, 0.8 steals. So it's, 1.9 stocks, almost 2 stocks per game, shooting 8 three-point attempts. There we go. It's when there's like multiple numbers. It's just too much.
We're
exhausted. It's a long day.
but also, steady minutes, safe minutes, yes. Just like with Poeltl. Yep. It's two Spurs in a row.
32 minutes per game through the month of April. He is just a reliable guy on the Spurs team that, are still playing to stay in the West, still making, they're the 9th seed right now. They're a game up over the Warriors, who we talked about at the top, obviously. And the Grizzlies, Spurs, Warriors, and Pels are all kind of jockeying for the play-in tournament. And so, and that's always good. I always like doing that in terms of fantasy at the end of a season, because, those teams care. They're going to try just that little bit extra.
Hard agree. The Spurs, even if they weren't the Spurs, they're still a team that is trying to remain in the playoffs and enhance their standing. They're not going to be sitting DeMar DeRozan or anything like that. Right. And because they're the Spurs, they do always try. They tank when they have to, but if you don't have to, they're going to play as hard as they can, because Pop in the front office understand that it's the experience of winning that really helps young teams. You want to get in the habit of these guys trying as hard as they can whenever they can. And they're also a team that has no problem resting guys. So the Spurs have 4 guys with extremely safe minutes in their starting 5. And
and 2 of Poeltl them get off waivers. So
yeah, you should exactly.
Do that. Yeah.
It's amazing.
All right, let's go to layups. My layup for this week, a man after your own heart, Natty. I'm sure that you are thrilled to be witnessing the brewing of the Isaiah Stewart stew.
Beef stew.
That's been concocted in Detroit, 40% rostered. In the month of April, this man, 24 minutes per game, 10.6 points per game, 9.3 rebounds per game, 1.1 assist, 1.9 stocks per game. And he's just started 5 of those games during the month of April, which is great. These are minutes of him coming off the bench in a bench role, and he's getting you a double double on 24 minutes. Yeah. Top 50 player in the last 30 days. All right, players who are averaging at least 10 points, 9 boards, and 1.4 blocks per game. Natty, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of these players. I'm going to take out the maybe the more challenging ones for you. Porzingis, Capella, Jared Allen. There are 3 guys left. Who are the other 3 guys who are averaging at least 10, 9, and 1.4?
Big Cat?
Yep.
One more.
MVP? MVP man.
Oh, Giannis?
No.
Or Embiid.
Embiid, there you go. And then the other one is the Stifle Tower.
Of course, yeah.
So,
boring old Rudy.
Isaiah Stewart, in the month of April, is giving you numbers comparable to Joel, Big Cat, Porzingis, Capella, Gobert, and Jared Allen. That's
and
it.
He's
that's
like
it.
A foot fucking shorter than those guys. That he's not a 7-footer.
That's the
he's
team.
Big Ben Wallace 2.0.
Yes, that's the crew. So Beef Stew is putting up elite fantasy production for a big that you can get off waivers. I snagged him off waivers last week, and I have been thrilled with Beef Stew on my team. Let me quickly track. I should have had this in my notes, but let me quickly track down who I dropped for him, just to tell you the confidence that I had in this young man.
Dropped Luca for him. Got to do
and
it.
And he supports this. I dropped Gary Trent Jr. Gary Trent Jr. for Isaiah Stewart.
Yeah. Another exciting young player. But Beef Stew is, he's playing in a way that makes you think that Mason Plumlee will not be wearing red, white, and blue next season in Detroit. he's still a real young player, but you can just see the energy that he brings every time he's out there. He's a lot of fun to watch. He's a familiar type of player to longtime Pistons fans. And the combination of him and Sadiq Bey is absolutely fucking great to watch. There are a lot of good young Pistons on this team. And Beef Stew is one of those guys who seems like a blue collar player, you know, and there's nothing but potential left. Like, this is his rookie season. So hopefully this is not a flash in the pan. This is only the start of a very steep upward trajectory.
Yes, exactly. And as the Pistons continue to, you know, be bad.
Yes. Yes, as they do.
As he is a future part of this team, like, his minutes and role could, you might see that increase as we move, you know, to the latter half of the NBA season, which is excellent. I mean, it's already increased drastically from where he started the year. And like, cause like I said, what did I say? He's averaging 24 minutes through the month of April. On the season, he's averaging 20 minutes. So, you know, right, he's already had a 4 minute increase for the month of April. If that gets, you know, 26, 27, if he starts seeing, you know, starter minutes, all those numbers are going, he's going to be a locked in double double. He's going to get you defense. He's just been playing incredibly, and you will be reaping the benefits of adding him to your fantasy team. And Natty is just, he's too thrilled. He's too excited because now this Pistons team is starting to look like, you know, Killian Hayes is back on the court, making some sexy bounce passes. You're getting excited, Natty. You're getting excited.
I like what I see. I really, really do.
And how often can you say that? Not often.
Also, with Beef Stew, I mean, we just saw a similar situation with the clock blocker, Time Lord himself. Yep. I don't know if he played today. No, he might still be injured.
He's still recovering.
But a guy who brings energy and stats off the bench and steadily raises their diet of minutes. I mean, we just fucking saw this. So if you like Robert Williams III, you should take a look at Beef Stew. There's like no real reason for him not to continue to get minutes in Detroit. Everyone, you know, likes Mason Plumlee and appreciates what he brings to the table, but he's not as necessary for the long-term future as seeing what Stewart can do.
Yes. Never slow down the development of your like future, possibly franchise rookie center for Mason Plumlee. Sorry, no shade to Mason Plumlee, but he shouldn't be your progress stopper.
And you know, like if you're the front office, then you're thinking to yourself, okay, well maybe we can flip Mace over the off season, but that makes, it's harder to do that when you just sit him down or, you know, like they wouldn't, I don't know if they would ask him to come off the bench. I doubt it. So they have to continue to showcase him and make him attractive. And you also don't want to ask too much of Stewart. I mean, this is a lost season already. So, you know, running him into the ground isn't a good idea. We don't want to Tom Thibodeau this shit.
Right. No, totally. Let me give a little extra fantasy advice out there for people in the world. Mason Plumlee, 78th overall in ESPN player rater on the year. If you don't have a trade deadline in your league, maybe sell a little high on him. See what you can get for him.
Since totally useful player.
Totally, you know? Useful. Super useful. He's going to get you your boards and points, but you know, things, his role, if he stays in Detroit, probably will be diminished next year. What's your layup for this week?
My layup is another frequent name on this podcast. This is Mr. Safe Minutes himself, Jayshon Tate, 47% rostered. 31st.
Also added him last week.
It's him and the elite stars throughout the league, like the all NBA level talent. That's how safe his minutes are.
Yeah.
You know, even for a team that doesn't want to win, it's like, well, shit, if Jayshon wants to play, he can play. That's absolutely fine with us. He's the 31st best player over the past 30 days, averaging 12 plus points per game, 5 plus boards, 3 plus dimes, over a steal, shooting 50% from the floor. He does not take threes. Don't worry about it. Also, when Wall's been sitting, Tate's the main ball handler, which I like to see.
Yeah.
if he's on your team, you absolutely do. What are you like? I don't give a shit about the Rockets. But again, like, more people are being asked to take on distributing duties, I think, especially with so many absences. And so Tate has safe minutes. The Rockets are giving him a long leash, and he has delivered all season long, even though that seems strange to say, but he's been one of the diamonds of the fantasy season.
Totally. Yeah. I dropped Thaddeus Young for him last week. And the thing that he does is, like, you look at, if you were just to like glance at his numbers, you'd be like, okay, none of these stand out to me, but what's great about him is the fact that, like, there are numbers in every category. So it's like, you know, there's even things to not stand out. Like you said, 12 plus points, 5 plus boards, almost 4 assists, almost 2 steals per game. Like, that's just in the month of April, averaging 30 minutes per game. It's just the across the board in all of the stat categories. And as you love about Derek White, who is a guard getting you blocks, you know, Jayson Tate is a guard getting you boards, getting you defense while getting you fine points. And like that kind of production. Yeah, I added him. I'm happy with it. He's a guy who is, you know, you're going to constantly get solid fantasy points and production out of him. And that is, honestly, when you go into the fantasy playoffs, for me, those are the kind of guys I love to add into my team to, you know, around the big break, you know, guys who have really high ceilings and might have a lower floor, or guys who are off and on injured. You know, if like the way we were talking about, I have Kevin Durant, it seems like he's playing every 17th game. Good for you, Kevin. I need guys also on my roster, in my lineup, who are going to at least just reliably get me points, reliably be on the court to at least carry me through a week where maybe Durant plays one game or two games, as opposed to playing all, you know, 3 or 4 on the schedule.
Totally. And Tate gets overlooked because of the lack of threes and scoring. So he's not an elite scorer like DeChosen, because they're similar, because DeMar doesn't take threes either. But just like you said, Tate doesn't hurt you. He only complements everything that you already have. So he's not going to lose you weeks. He's not sexy, but he's efficient, 50% from the floor. There's a reason why he's been so valuable, and it's because he contributes to most of the stat categories and doesn't hurt you in any of them.
Awesome. All right. Well, before we go on to our open threes and long twos, plus a little DFS chatter, let's take a quick ad break. All right. We are back. Speaking of the Brooklyn Nets and all of the injuries that they are currently dealing with, my open three is a guy who's been benefiting from that. And again, open threes, guys who are 35% and under rostered on ESPN. Bruce Brown. For the Brooklyn Nets, 28% rostered in the month of April, 26 minutes per game, 10.8 points per game, 8.1 rebounds per game, 1.9 assists per game, 1.7 steals per game. And the thing is, we've talked about this before on the show, he's in that dunker spot for the Nets, which means he's scoring with efficiency. He's only has averaging 8 attempts per game through the month of April, but shooting 56% because all he does is dunk or take the occasional inside, you know, shot. And so those points, you're always, you know, he can reliably get you points with a really solid baseline, and the boards for, again, a whatever 6'4" guard. I mean, he's averaging you almost a double double through the month of April, which is quite a delight to be snagging down at the bottom of your waiver wire.
I love watching him. He's a former Piston. I really like it when he and Joe Harris are on the floor together. I just feel like the Nets play better when that's occurring. It's really funny to watch how the Nets use him. It does seem inside out, upside down,
but
especially
it works,
because they have so many front court players, but it absolutely does. Yeah. He's a tough motherfucker. He doesn't have swagger. It's like, he just presents himself like, I am an NBA player. Get out of my way. I don't disrespect the rest of you, but I'm just as good. Fuck you. He's just a lot of fun to watch. And the Nets, for as much talent as they have, there's still all these questions about whether that can actually work across seven game series. And I think Bruce Brown is actually going to end up playing more than we think he will in the playoffs.
Yeah. Oh, I think for sure. Also looking at his basketball reference page, learning he's from Boston, Massachusetts. So fellow Bostonian, you gotta love that. I have to love that. You don't have to love that. You can hate that. I love that. Yeah. No, he's, I'm just looking at their body types. Bruce Brown, 6'4", 202. Jason Tate, 6'4", 230. Whew!
Just muscles.
The man is swaggerly built. But I wonder if Jason Tate, like, I know that the Rockets have kind of, you know, he's been ball dominant for what they are as a team right now. But I wonder if he can, like, in his future, in a future world for him, if that's kind of like, if this is what he evolves into, if he doesn't like, if his jump shot develops and he can build something from outside, then that's great. And that I think will obviously change his game, but he also seems like one of these guards who can, as the NBA is constantly evolving and starting to put smaller guys in that dunker spot, you know, a guard who can get you 10 points, 10 boards, pretty reliably. I mean, Bruce Brown, last four games, averaging 13 points, 11 rebounds. Love it.
He's been on a nice run.
Absolutely. And, love it.
You know, the NBA has sort of reconsidered point distribution, I think. Like, they don't mind it so much anymore if someone's scoring under 10 points a game, so long as they're scoring those points efficiently.
Sure.
And yes, from the right spot. So, like, my open three is another guy in the dunking spot who also doesn't hit threes and doesn't even take them. Nerlens Noel, we mentioned him earlier. He's 34% rostered, so right underneath the limit. 33rd on the player rater. And he basically does the exact same shit as, like, Bruce Brown and some of these other people. Last 30, he's averaging 5+ points per game. I know, big time. But with a 59 field goal percentage, he's 8 boards, over a steal, over 2 blocks per game. Nerlens has the third most total blocks this season, 118. And he's behind Miles Turner with 159 and Rudy with 165. And Noel has 200 fewer minutes than Miles and 600 fewer than Gobert. So just like you were about to say, like, oh, he hasn't really played that much. You're fucking right. And if he did play,
block efficiency is out of this world.
There are a couple of highlight reels going around the internet where it's just like him. Absolutely. I think Worldwide Wob sent one out. His blocks are great, but he's always been like this. He's still just 26, I think. And he's been an elite defender, but you just don't want him to have a heavy scoring load. So he's been perfect for Tibbs. Like, this is, I sort of wonder whether, you know, they're even going to really care about Mitch Robb in their future plans. You know, maybe they'll pick up a different type of player if they can trade him. So I don't know, but Nerlens is, he seems like a vintage Tibbs guy.
Yes, he does. And he is someone who, like, honestly, all of his fantasy, like, he just alone, for the reliability to which he blocks, how reliable his defense is, that in and of itself is worth rostering. And then points and boards are just gravy. And, like, and totally, to the point where it's like, what'd you say he was for the year or in the last 30 for ESPN Player Rater?
He's 31st like over the guy. Past, or 33rd 31st. Over the past month.
33rd.
Yeah.
33rd over the past month. And in the month of April, let's see, month of April, he's averaging 5.8 points per game, 7.9 boards. So it's just like these blocks, his ability to block is solely sustaining his fantasy value. So even if he scores no points and gives you like 5 boards, the blocks are enough to make him a good fantasy player. And that kind of comfort in those like rare defensive numbers is so great for your team because everything else is gravy. If he does put on like against what? I'll look at against the Pelicans last week, 12 points, 8 boards. Exceptional. Like, that is great. Against Atlanta, he had 9 points, 12 boards. awesome. But he also has, like, he played the Toronto 29 minutes, 1 point, five boards, but four fucking blocks. And like, that is plenty to be, to put forward a really good fantasy performance.
And the Raptors are weird. They play bigs, I feel like, almost better everywhere than anyone else. Yeah. Like, they're the only team that Embiid says gives him a lot of trouble, or, you know, any kind of legitimate trouble. So the Raptors are something else. We shouldn't hold that 1 point against New Orleans too hard for that particular game, but he has safe minutes. You know what he's going to give you. And in the playoffs, what you want are elite category stat contributors. So if someone just gives you dimes, like Rondo, who's available, you pick him up. If someone just gives you blocks, like Nerlens, you pick him up. You're hoping that they have well-rounded games, but in the playoffs, all you want to do is win the cat stat, the stat category, excuse me.
All right, well, let's go into the long twos. Guys, 20% and under roster in ESPN, and a guy who is giving you some production, mild, but some production across stat categories, is, and I have written it out phonetically here, so we'll see how good I do this, Facundo Campazzo. Did I nail it?
I've been pronouncing it Campazzo, but maybe it's Campazzo. I'm not sure. The magician. I have no idea. He's great.
Facundo Campazzo, 5% rostered. He started the last four games for the Nuggets in place of Jamal Murray and Monte Morris, who were both injured. And in that span, last four games, averaging 6.8 points, 2.8 boards, 5.5 assists, 1.5 steals.
Nice.
Not a reliable scorer, but you're adding him for his assists, steals, and he does, this is a nice little stat for you too, take over 5 threes per game. Since he's starting, he's only shooting 27%, but on the season, he's shooting 37% from beyond the arc. And so you would hope that those numbers, you know, those, that percentage kind of finds equilibrium once again. But even still, he is getting you good steals, solid assists, and shooting a good number of threes at a, you know, if he averages back to what he's been doing on the season, not a bad clip. And so that's always a threat to score some points. But again, a guy whose minutes are pretty locked in, especially with Jamal Murray being out for the year, and the Nuggets trying to battle and stay in that kind of fourth seed spot.
He is a rookie, by the way.
Also true. Facundo Campazzo.
I was very excited when Denver got him, because I thought that the combination of him and Joker would be amazing. Two elite passers. But Campazzo, or let's just call him Facundo, he seems to be a rhythm player. Nice fucking job,
Campazzo. We're just gonna absolutely fucking Americanize and butcher his name. Campazzo.
It seems like the more he starts, the better his shot will be. You know, he just needs to be in rhythm. He's always looking for a pass. Those threes are there. He's taking them. So, again, another player who you're not as attracted to because of the point totals. What you want are the other stats that he contributes. And again, Denver fucking needs him. They're running out of players. You know, Joker and Michael Porter Jr. have been on fucking fire the past month to try to pick up the slack. And hopefully Facundo gets into a better rhythm and his shots start dropping. And when they do, if they do, then his fantasy value will skyrocket.
Yep. 5% roster right now. So literally costs you nothing. If you have a streamer spot that you want open, if you have someone who you just popped on your IR, if you're in a super, super, super deep league and you're just looking for anyone you can scrounge off waivers, you can do not much better than Campazzo at under 10% rostered. Natty, who's your long two for the week?
Another frequent guest, Sadiq Bey.
Come on down. The usual stars.
He is another rookie.
Is this the most we've ever talked about the Pistons on this show before, even though you're a Pistons
fan? And former Pistons, yeah, totally.
Natty feeling himself this week, my goodness.
Well, this is what happens when you give minutes to young players, right?
This is what happens when the Pistons win a couple of games.
And same with Time Lord. When you give these guys opportunities, then they start filling the stat sheets. And with Sadiq Bey, who's 19.9% rostered, so right under the
you
limit.
You just snuck it under. Well done, I approve.
He's been a top 100 player of the past month, and he's number 120 on the season. Now that, again, is as a rookie, and he wasn't playing as much earlier in the season. Mm-hmm. Over the last 30 days, he's 12-plus points per game, 4-plus boards, over an assist, 2-plus three-pointers made. 38 players are averaging 6-plus three-point attempts per game and have a 37 three-point percentage or better on the season. 38 players. Only Sadiq Bey and Michael Porter Jr. are 22 years old. They're the youngest on that list. And Bey is averaging the third fewest minutes per game of all those 38. So he's young. He hasn't been getting as much playing time earlier in the season, but now he's here and he's shooting like a bunch of guys who are 70, 80, 90% rostered. He's tied with Donovan Mitchell in true shooting percentage. Seems good.
Yeah.
And he's not just a guy that can help you in the rest of the season. He's a great dynasty stash.
Yeah.
Out of all of the players with at least 130 three-pointers made this season, that's 33 players, only Bey and Patty Mills are less than 20% rostered. Sadiq Bey is 22 years old, and he's on a list where everybody else is highly rostered. His minutes are safe, Sadiq's are, and they will be safe going forward. I mean, he's going to have a 20-year career as a real 3D guy. So if you need three-pointers made, you should check out Sadiq because he is highly available and no one is taking his minutes or his shots in Detroit.
Yeah. I wish there was a way for me to use like pronounce the difference in my spelling, but really Sadiq Bey is not just Sadiq Bey to Natty. He's Sadiq Bey.
Oh, I see. Yeah. B-A-E. Gotcha. Yeah.
It looks great on my paper. Sadiq. It looks terrible through the audio medium of which we recorded this podcast.
Sad Bay.
Get it out there. Sadiq Bey.
He's Bey. Great. He's going to turn into like, he'll be the new Tayshaun for Pistons fans.
I like it. And I like those seven attempts per game over the last month. Shooting 34% from three. Not bad. And he's had what? He's had three games within the month of April. I'm looking at his, game logs. Three games in the month of April where he's taken over 10 threes per game and shot 50%, 16%, you know, ignore that one, and 54%. So like, just goes to show there are nights where he can get really hot from three, take a bunch of shots and can get you large scoring outputs along with, you know, the reliable, you know, solid defensive and rebound points that he's getting or stats that he's getting you there. I like it.
22 years old, y'all.
20 freaking two.
This is the type of dynasty player that will be solid for you for a decade.
Before we move to studs and duds, Natty, do you have any from the logos for us this week?
I do not.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Cam Passo is our from the logo, our honorary from the logo this week. Perfect. All right. Well, let's move on to studs and duds then. It's time for both Natty and I to pick one player who we think will perform above average in fantasy DFS this coming week and one who will underperform. We didn't have a show last week, so our records are still the same. Natty is 12-6. I am 11-7. My stud this week, am going to stay with the homer crowd. I'm going to pick a Boston Celtic because their schedule is quite saucy this coming week, which makes me very happy after they dropped one against the Hornets. But Kemba Walker has been playing pretty hot recently, and I think he's going to stay hot. The Celtics play the Thunder, the Hornets, who he dropped 20 on just today, the Spurs, and then the Trailblazers. I like Kemba to stay pretty toasty against that. And I don't think, actually, let me quickly check the schedule. I don't think any of those games are, there might be one back-to-back, which Kemba does traditionally sit out. And so even with that, let's see, Celtics. Yeah. So Charlotte, the second Charlotte game is a back-to-back against OKC. Honestly, Charlotte is the tougher matchup. If Kemba just plays OKC, San Antonio and Portland this week. Yeah. That makes my bet even better.
if Charlotte Kemba is the Kemba that gets to play in those games, then that's great. And if he doesn't if Charlotte Kemba doesn't play against Charlotte, then that's okay too. He's not the straw that stirs the drink in Boston, but when he's on, they just look so much better.
So much better. Having that third reliable third option, especially since Evan Fournier has just not been able to, play.
What a shame.
That's been a bummer.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kemba's last, six games? Yeah, averaging 20 points per game, shooting 34% from three. Love it.
We forget how much fun it is to watch Kemba at 100%. He remains one of the most fun players in basketball when everything's tied together for him.
Yep. Who's your stud this week?
My stud this week is prefaced upon the fact that his team plays five games this week.
Oh, you're going for quantity.
I am going for quantity. Even though we look at ratios, this is just a helpful reminder for folks out there. If you're in weekly leagues, three teams play five games this week: the Dallas Mavericks, the OKC Thunder, and the Toronto Raptors. So if you're looking for players to plug in for the week and actually get volume, then you should look at those three teams, including this guy, a Dallas Maverick, my stud this week, Dorian Finney-Smith. He is a forward. Over the last 2 weeks, he's third in minutes per game for Dallas. Kristaps has, an ankle thing again. He missed the last game. He might miss the next one. Who knows how many minutes he'll actually play when he does come back. Luka's a little banged up. And in the last 2 weeks, Dorian Finney-Smith has averaged 13 plus points per game, 6 boards, 2 plus 3 pointers made, and has a 56 field goal percentage.
Ooh,
that's nice.
Like that. Yeah.
The five games the Mavericks are playing this week are Sacramento, the Warriors, who, as we said, have a top 10 defensive rating, so that's not super easy. The Pistons, the Wizards, and then the Kings again. He gets to play Sacramento twice. I think that's a pretty nice lineup for the Mavericks in general and for Dorian Finney-Smith in particular. I think he's going to have a pretty good week with volume and efficiency.
I like it. And it's a perfect transition because my dud for this week is on the aforementioned Sacramento Kings. Because the Kings play the Mavericks twice, the Jazz, and the Lakers, which tough. Is... Not a great
and without league. De'Aaron Fox.
And without De'Aaron Fox, damn. Exactly. And so my guy is replacing De'Aaron Fox, and that's Tyrese Haliburton. It's just that is just a tough four games to play this week.
Yeah.
It goes Mavericks, Jazz, Lakers, Mavericks. It was between them and someone on the Raptors because the Raptors, they play five games, but those five games against Cavs, Nets, Nuggets, Jazz, Lakers.
Yes.
Yikes,
although
Raptors.
I do have a stud candidate that I'm just going to throw out there from the Raptors.
Ooh,
but I totally agree with you.
Yes, it's a tough stretch. But anyway, so for Tyrese Haliburton too, I just think that in the starting lineup means more minutes, but also means more opportunities for mistakes, Natty. And you're going up against three top defenses. That's that could come back to bite you.
And Marvin Bagley's still out. I mean, this Kings season is a complete disaster. They're
almost like they should have blown it up at the trade deadline. One could argue
if they even could. I mean, some of these guys, like who wants Marvin Bagley?
No, but they could have traded Harrison Barnes. They were fervent on keeping him because they thought they had a playoff chance.
And the Bogdan situation from last offseason.
Yeah, that was
It's just really tough, and they just look absolutely awful. Their coaching and front office has not covered themselves in glory, but Tyrese Haliburton fucking rules. So who cares about any of the rest of it? But I agree with you. He's going to have to shoulder a big load, and this is going to be a tough stretch for them. They're 24-35 on the season, and they're 2-8 in their last 10. Jesus fucking Christ, Sacramento.
That is rough. All right, wrap us up. Who's your dud for the week?
My dud, going big again, is Devin Booker.
Oh, baby.
The Phoenix Suns play the New York Knickerbockers, the LA Clippers, the Utah Jazz, and the OKC Thunder. Booker's been slumping a bit recently. I don't really know what the issue has been. And I just think that's four tough games. Even though the Thunder are tanking, like, their young perimeter guys are still going to run up and down the floor on you, and you always have to account for Poku. There's, let's see, they're 42-17, the Suns. They're definitely wanting, they're not going to take games off or anything like that. You know, they care about their seeding. It's possible they could get the number one overall seed, which would be amazing for them. There's a line of thinking that this would be Devin Booker's, like, best week. Like, fuck this slump. I'm coming out and I'm beating the shit out of all these other teams, including the Jazz and the Clippers, who are close to us in the standings. So while I'm hopeful that Booker has a good week and really gets to show everybody off, I think that the slump will continue.
Yeah, I can get behind that. Devin Booker, that is a bold claim, but you know, sometimes you got to go big, sometimes you got to go bold.
Exactly. And I do have one more stud candidate, as we mentioned earlier. In Toronto, Chris Boucher is out with an MCL injury. It's not torn, but he's out for the foreseeable future. Kem Birch, late of the Orlando Magic, is now the Raptors' starting center. There's, like, no one else really there that they want to play. He's 10% rostered. He's just going to get all the minutes in the fucking world, I think. And again, like we said earlier, the Raptors do have five games, so this is a volume play. Like you said, they're going up, you know, Jared Allen in Cleveland, the Nets front court, Joker in Denver, the Jazz, then the Lakers. So it's going to be a tough assignment, but there's no one else there. They have to play Kem Birch. So if you're looking for interior presence, if you're desperate for a big, check out Kem Birch, because I think his minutes are safe, at least for the next week.
Yeah, he started the last five games for them. 8+ points, 6+ boards, one, almost two blocks. Not bad.
It's free production. So
free production and stats are just opportunity minutes make the world grow.
And I think he's from Canada. So maybe he's playing with, you know, extra pizzazz now that he's on the Raptors.
I like it. That always, you know, play for the home crowd. That's always a good sign. All right.
I did have one more thing to say before we go. Just wanted to point out that the Bulls are the 11th seed in the East and the Pelicans are the 11th seed in the West. And that's a pretty big fucking problem if that's how the season ends, because both those teams wanted to be in the playoffs this year.
It's true. I wonder if the Pelicans get real panicky this offseason and really try to make a lot of dumb moves.
Yeah, I mean,
they feel ripe for it.
The fact that Zion has looked so much better on offense and so much worse on defense, even though he's gotten better, it's just, you know, they've had a strange season too. A lot of people.
I thought you were going to say the fact that Zion said that he wants to play in New York.
Well, I mean, I feel like everybody says that at some point in their career because everybody likes to play at the Garden, and you know, it's New York. But people say they like playing in the Staples Center too. So, like, you know, New Orleans is a great town. Just because some kid said that they like playing in New York or that they like New York, you shouldn't.
Pelicans are panicking. It's going to be an exciting offseason if they don't even make the play-in tournament.
It's going to be tough because they definitely constructed a team with that in mind.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. 100%. Awesome. Well, there you go. Make sure you subscribe to the Fake Teams podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. That's how you'll not only get us, but also our fantasy baseball and fantasy football show. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at The Long Two Podcast. We will be back at you next week. Natty, until then, my friend, stay safe and well rested.
You do the same. Get some good naps and enjoy this. There's like 15 to 12 games left in the NBA season. Things are really heating up because of the play-in, so enjoy the games this week.
Amen.